In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This morning we begin a series of topical sermons on subjects taken from the ministry and the writings of the Apostle Paul. We begin that series this morning with the text, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear children of God, you shall not commit adultery is under siege today. Those who do not particularly care what God's Word is, or are not careful in understanding what God clearly says, have chosen to go in their own direction and make their own ideas about the proper relationship between sex and marriage. This morning, we're going to talk about illicit sex. Illicit sex, though, is not a straw man that we are here to attack. Illicit sex is a real sin that tempts us Christians. And at times, we'd have to admit that it wins the day. All sexual lust and sexual activity apart from marriage is a sin. With the sixth commandment, God forbids sexual immorality. At the same time, in the positive side of the sixth commandment, he teaches us who are married to each love and honor his spouse. We were reminded in catechism, and we remind our children in catechism, that the sixth commandment applies to those who are not married as we keep our thoughts and our bodies pure for marriage, if God grants us that blessing. And the sixth commandment commands us who are in marriage that we keep ourselves pure by remaining faithful to the vow that we made to our husband or wife at the time we got married. God's Word is not silent about sex. It's not even sparse in what it writes about sex. Both inspired testaments of God's Word are filled with warnings against illicit sex. And that leads us to our theme. Why all the warnings about and against illicit sex? Well, first of all, because it is so prevalent in the world. And secondly, because of its frightful consequences to body and to soul. If you were caught up in a tsunami, it would be very difficult for you to escape being swept away. If we were caught in a pandemic, quite a popular theme these days in television shows and movies, if we were caught up in a pandemic disease, it would be very difficult for any of us to escape being infected by that disease. The Bible has so many warnings about illicit sex because you and I are threatened to be overwhelmed by the flood and pandemic of the wrong teachings and ideas of sex that flood against us every day. I'm not telling you anything new when I tell you that it is virtually impossible to get away from the wrong teachings and practices of illicit sex in the media today, whether that media is in print or whether it is electronic. God gave men and women the gift of sex and sexual desire as part of all God said, this is very good. God gave men and women sexual desire for each other so that they could enjoy that and express that mutual love that is to exist between men and women. God has given that gift of sex and sexual desire as a way of propagating the human race, as the way of procreating children. Like everything else, that good and perfect gift that God has given us has become infected by sin. How easily my sinful nature misuses that gift of sexual desire and sexual action, as well as all the other gifts that God has given us. The desire to commit sexual sins, along with all other sins, is included in our confession. I know that in me, that is, in my sinful nature, dwells no good thing. It lies also in what God said, every inclination of man's heart is evil from childhood. Like the believers in Ephesus, you and I live in a society that is flooding us and is a pandemic of illicit sex. Maybe some of us at one time lived in that darkness before God made us a child of God by bringing us to faith or through holy baptism. That's why we have so many hymns this morning about baptism, because our baptism called us out of that darkness and has freed us from slavery to sin and has given us the liberty now that we enjoy as the children of God, as the children of light. So Paul reminded them and reminds us, once you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as the children of light. The Apostle Paul addresses them and us according to our new nature, our new man, as Christians. That's who we are. We walk as the children of light. The Greek verb there, walk, means to walk around, to live in this, to make that our natural way of doing things, as our custom. It is our custom as children of light to shun the temptations of sin. And yet, we're still dragging our sinful nature with, aren't we? We're still dragging our sinful nature along with us until the last day. James says that sinful nature clings to us, It works and inflames the lust for sin. And that lust for sin gives birth to deeds, deeds that lead to death. Wouldn't it be nice if we were holy and pure like the angels? But we aren't. We have the same nature as Samson, a judge of Israel who took up with a prostitute, Delilah. We're not pure like the holy angels. We share the same nature as King David, who lusted and committed adultery with another man's wife and then arranged for his murder. We're not like the angels. We're more like Tamar, Jacob's granddaughter, who was guilty of deceit and sexual sin, just to name a few. Paul tells the Ephesian brothers and sisters in Christ and us, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. An imitator is a mimic. Think of a child mimicking his father or mother, or her father or mother. You and I are to be imitators of God because we are the children of God. God adopted us in our holy baptisms. God prepared us and made us able to be his children by Christ, who is God, offering up himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. We could put those two together and say he offered himself as a fragrant sacrifice to God. Think of the priests in the Old Testament when they burned the flesh of the sacrifice, like when you're grilling a nice ribeye or porterhouse, and that sweet smell is going up in the smoke into your nostrils. As the priests burned those sacrifices, that sweet smell and aroma went up to God as an acceptable sacrifice that paid for sin. God has, in Christ, offered that fragrant offering and sacrifice to us. It became ours in baptism as we shared in the blessings of his sufferings and share in the blessings of his exaltation. So now it is our desire as Christians to be imitators of God as the children of light. We are God's adopted children, made acceptable by Christ. What is to be evident in our lives then? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We are to mimic that perfect love of obedience, which is what love is, that Christ had for his Father in our lives. And that love does not include sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or greed. The word impurity literally is against clean, against pure. Really, we could even say something that is opposed to what is clean or opposed to what is pure. And notice how Paul associates sexual immorality with greed. How often don't we see that today and have seen that in history, where those sins are combined? In fact, Paul says it's really all idolatry because it's the worship of something other than the true God. You and I are the children of light. We want to be imitators of our Father in heaven, but we still have our sinful nature that can be inflamed to sin. What are the things Paul says that inflame us, that inflame our sinful nature when it comes to illicit sex? Obscenity. The Greek word is pornos, from what we get our English word pornography. Or foolish talk. literally silly talk, or what Paul talks about later as empty words. If you've ever listened to somebody talk about sex that doesn't believe that it's a gift of God, that doesn't believe it's only supposed to be within the blessings of marriage, when they give their ideas and their views about sexual relations, that is silly talk. That is empty words. Because they don't know what they're talking about, because it has nothing to do with that gift that God has given us and how to use it. And the third one he mentions is coarse joking. We would simply say dirty jokes. Jokes or even kidding or talking about sex, whether apart from marriage or in marriage, in a way that degrades it, in a way that does not associate it with God, in a way that mocks it as if it's something that is not to be desired in the life of a Christian. We simply are to avoid such things in our lives so that we don't inflame our sinful natures. Paul says we are not to be people who are known for enjoying those kinds of things. We are to avoid thoughts and actions of illicit sex and rather think about thanksgiving. Think about praise. Our heads, in spite of what some people may think sometimes, are not empty and can never be empty. If I'm not thinking about something godly, I'm thinking about something sinful. And the only way to keep those thoughts from filling my head is to stay away from those temptations and fill my head with thoughts of thanksgiving to God. Thoughts of praise. Thoughts of recognizing that we are the children of God. Why? The warnings against illicit sex, because it is so prevalent in the world around us. But it's also so harmful, and the frightful consequences it carries for body and soul. We know what those are: venereal diseases, sexually transmitted diseases, unwanted pregnancies that lead to abortions. We think of the poverty that comes to people's bodies and to children's physical well-being when families break up through divorce or where there is never marriage. We look back in history and in the Bible and see entire civilizations, cultures, and cities destroyed by God as His judgment against illicit sex. Those things are never punishment for sin. They are the consequences of the sexual sins. They are God's judgment on those, as everything that happens in this world is a judgment against sin. If you open the newspaper this morning, on one of the sections that's there from the USA Today, it's filled with all of the wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and the ungodliness of men, all of which Jesus says is a sign that the end is near. And all of these results, the things that happen when we go against God, are reminders of His judgment against sin for one purpose, not to punish us, but to make us aware of the fatal consequences of sin. To make us aware of how bad those things and harmful those things are to our bodies, they are even more harmful to our souls. Because sin, when we don't repent of it, can destroy our faith. When we let our old Adam rise up against us, it can destroy our relationship with God. It can cause us to not walk, to not live in light, but to go back once again and live in and walk in the love of sin. And Paul says, don't be fooled. No one who lives like that, no one who takes that as their way of life, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. When our loving God sees us, His dear children, being tempted toward the world's filthy pandemic of illicit sex, He calls out to us, stop. Turn. Repent. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, yield to Him. Prize His love in these many warnings. And be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Amen.